Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for that scene in Goldmember where Austin Powers and Mini-Me are behind that sheet, and the henchmen can see their shadows, and it looks like Mini-Me's hand is Austin Powers' penis in all of California. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Cumulus. How are you?
Yeah, baby.
Hey.
How's it going?
You know, just thinking about timely movies and humor. That's all.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's our producer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
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 I'm trying to get him to say yeah, baby, and it's not working.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
There we go. Now he's in the mood.
That's good. But I do like him giving every interpretation of yeah before that. That's what a good producer does. He runs through all the levels.
That's true. He gives us a lot of options that we can use.
Yeah. I had not thought about that scene in... I hadn't really thought about Goldmember for, well, since it came out, and I saw it. Once I left the theater, I think it all, like, just flowed out of my brain.
Man, that's unfortunate. It's good. It's on TBS right now if you want to watch it.
Yeah, let's do that instead. I'll just watch that.
I'll call you back. See ya.
All right, see ya. No, speaking of classic cinema, you were in the land of classic cinema. You were in the land of movies. You were in La La Land last week. It's why we didn't record.
That's true. Yeah. I was there. We were doing exciting things. I met Kevin Moose.
Yes, from the Junk Fod Diner.
Yeah, I met him for the first time. He looks way different than what I thought he would look like.
I saw those pictures. He has plaid.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I met Sean Byron.
Also for the first time.
Yeah, he looked so exactly. From
Junk Food Dinner.
Yeah, he's from Junk Food Diner. I met Shelby Cobas.
Mm-hmm. And from Geological Contractor.
Oh. Yeah, that's him. And also Corey was there. And also a lot of other people, some of their friends as well, not to leave them out. Everybody was there. It was a big fun to do.
Yeah, I heard.
Also, I met my man Jackson.
My man Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that he was in attendance as well.
Yeah, we did like a big it's up now for the kids at junkfooddinner.com. We did like a big live episode and Jackson was there and he was our audience. And like, that was wild to have an audience member. It felt like a recording session of Kissing Contest. They always got audience members. They got dogs and things like this.
Yeah, amongst other things. But then like Kissing Contest, you had snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have to admit made me a bit uncomfortable. There's the sound of packages unwrapping and then chewing on the snacks was not music to my ears, but I understand that there's an entire audience for that.
There is an audience for that. Kids love it. Yeah, we went the Chow Yum Chat way. There's two schools of thought when it comes to snack podcasting. The Kissing Contest school, where you chew off air, and the Chow Yum Chat school, where you chew directly into the microphone. And that's the way we were going. That's how we wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You didn't care for that.
You really did. You really chewed on that stuff. Got all the lip smacks into that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you didn't care for it. But
now, speaking of lip smacks, do we have any sponsors this week?
Yeah, we do have some sponsors. They told me, though, that they like to come on around the halfway point. Apparently, like, there's some metrics and some data that suggests people are more likely to buy their things if we advertise them later. I don't know why.
Yeah, I leave the metrics and the math up to the producer, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's possibly because I don't have any pulled up, but we'll do it shortly. That's possibly what the metrics say.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was a long road to get to the lip smackers, basically. Yeah. No, I like what you guys did. The snack sounded good.
Lip smackers are still our sponsor. One of our sponsors. So
cool.
Buy them. You know, they'll make your lips look good. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, what else is there to say?
Exactly.
Just smack them lips. That's their catchphrase. I am interested in those snacks. I don't know if I have any access to them. It sounds like that was like a lot of them were from a Chinese supermarket. So I'm assuming that they're like, their origin is from China. We've got a lot of like Korean supermarkets and Japanese supermarkets here. So I don't know if I could find those. That snowball thing sounded good though, but you didn't, that wasn't your bag because it had all that white stuff on it.
Yeah, that was yuck. Not into that.
Was it like a Hostess snowball? That's what it sounded like with the coconut shavings and the kind of like marshmallow-like substance on it.
Kinda, but if like one of those things was like if you bought it at like a gourmet dude rather than buying it from like a huge machine that spits out chemicals.
Yeah, or like a Hostess thrift store. Which, yeah. By the way, those still exist in rare parts. I don't know if you ever went to those, like a Hostess thrift, but it was usually like on some dusty road or something like that, or like the outskirts of a town.
Yeah, there was one like out in like on some weird old industrial/rural road in Dayton.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think around Needmore.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Which is like the old seedy part of town where, I think that's where, what's his face? Wheelchair guy.
Yeah.
Larry Flint. That's where he got his start. Is that in that area?
Oh, you're talking about Larry Flint?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was just like some character who's still there. Like, old wheelchair guy.
Yeah. My dude, Rick. My dude, Rick in the wheelchair from high school. That's where he got his start. We see you, Rick.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Larry Flint was from around that area. He probably shot that Hostess thrift all the time.
Probably.
Yeah. Who knows what he did with those treats?
Something sexual. But yeah, it was fun. We had all those snacks. I actually had a dream about one of those snacks. We had like these churro nuggets. That like tasted like syrup. And a couple of nights ago, I had a dream about them, like that I had some and that they were like really tasty. So
they're still tasty. That's a great dream.
That's the kind of dreams I'm having. Some people dream about flying, living in a mansion. Not me. I'm just dreaming about the good snacks I've had in my life.
That's excellent. Yeah. Great sense memory. That was the one that you thought could have been a cereal, correct?
Yeah.
That seems legit. I don't know why there's not. I mean, it wasn't like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, was it?
Not exactly. I know that there's like a cereal that I've had that tastes like that, but I can't remember what it was like some like limited edition version of like Sugar Smacks or something like that.
Hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, it was good. It could have been a cereal. It also could have been a cereal with an S where like, every week I try one, you know, and talk about it on a podcast about crime, you know, just each week until I finish the bag. Just kind of serialize it.
Yeah. And then you don't really come to any conclusions, but just kind of like this general ennui of like, what is justice? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What is life? And then you might be able to call ISIS and be like, is this ISIS? Is that who I'm talking to? All of this terrorist organization?
You asked me with your reference. I feel like we were making fun of that podcast.
There's a cliffhanger on one of those episodes from this most recent season. And that's what it is. Like, she's calling on this phone, and the hook is supposed to be that she says, like, is this ISIS? But that's also, like, a really dumb thing to say, because you would never say that.
Yeah.
You'd be like, hey, is this so-and-so, an ex-member or a leading member even of this terrorist organization?
Yeah. That'd be like
that
if I called
more
you.
Sense. Yeah. What?
That'd be like if I called you and I was like, hey, is this Arkansas?
Yeah, no shit. You're like, hey, is this Little Rock? No, it's me, Jason. It's your cousin, Jason. Jason Frisbee. You know that new sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this. That's another reference. That's Back to the Future.
I get that reference.
I hate that reference, though, because it's like, it implies that Chuck Berry doesn't know who any of his family is. And he's like, Marvin? Who the fuck is Marvin? He's like, Marvin Berry, your cousin with the same last name? And he's like, ow, you lost me. What is this all about? Music? Jesus.
Well, it also implies that Chuck Berry stole rock and roll from white-ass Marty McFly.
Yeah. Creating not only this weird-ass time loop, but a very, very racist one as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, there's so many things wrong with that reference.
And then there's also that scene where, like, that guy who's, like, the waiter who wants to run for mayor gets the idea to run for mayor because white-ass Marty McFly gave him the confidence to do so.
Yeah, God bless white people, right? Yeah.
And then there's that
God
scene.
God bless that white guy.
Yeah, he's the best one. And then there's also that scene where, like, Christopher Lloyd is talking about how he doesn't like quote-unquote N-words. Like, what's that about? That's a really racist movie, now that I think about it, you know?
Yeah, I kind of think of it. It does make you just want to go back to the future. That's not instead of in the past.
I know. Racist ass Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So also in LA, we went to this bar in Hollywood.
Yeah. What was that called?
It was called the Powerhouse.
Whoa, okay.
Racist ass. It was a white power bar. Okay. That's where we decided to go.
Good Lord.
They had very strong politics there, stronger than you could ever imagine.
Strong drinks and strong politics. I think I've heard of this place. That's their catchphrase. You see.
Yeah, and
just pause.
I had to mull it over. That was actually their slogan.
Okay.
And we went there and like they were playing like all this like garbage music, like super loud. Like there's only like four people in there. It was a really small place, but they were playing like super, super loud music. And all the music they were playing was like, at first it was like Sugar Ray songs and stuff like this. Like they played like a Smash Mouth song.
That's dope. That's fresh.
Yeah, and not even one of the good ones. It wasn't Flow, which is a song I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And like all this stuff. And then like we started realizing that like a lot of the songs they were playing were like cover songs. Like they played like Smells Like Teen Spirit or In Bloom or like one of those Nirvana songs, but it was like a cover version.
Huh.
And then like they played like a Monkey song, but it was a cover version.
Uh-huh.
And then like they played this Marcy Playground song, but it was a cover version. It was like really baffling, and like we were all very confused about why they would do that. And then they played three Amy Winehouse songs, which I didn't even know that there were three Amy Winehouse songs. That was very eye-opening for me.
You just thought there was the one.
Yeah. I, like everybody else on Earth, thought there was just the one. You know, when Amy Winehouse died, everybody was talking about all this, oh, I'm going to miss Amy Winehouse. Her music was so great. She had the one song.
The rehab song.
Yeah. They'd be like crying, oh, we're going to miss Lou Bega so much. It's such a great discography Lou Bega had.
He had Mamba Number 5. He had Mamba Number 6. He had Mambo Number 8 through 11.
Mm-hmm. Skipped Number 9.
Yeah.
Though. But, yeah, so. And then, like, they played that Marcy Gray song. You remember that song?
I think Marcy, with the where she tries to walk, but she stumbles.
Yeah, they played that song.
Okay.
And then they played another cover song, and then they played that song again. Like, it didn't seem like there was a jukebox there. Like, I think this is just from, like a CD that they made or something. I don't know. I couldn't understand. It was the weirdest fucking thing. But it's 2016 in Hollywood, California, the place where Poison was born. And we're listening to Marcy Gray and Marcy Playground. And I couldn't understand it one bit. It's like, I thought this place was supposed to be cool.
I think her name is Macy Gray, right?
Macy Gray. There you go.
Okay.
Well,
but maybe the cover version was done by Marcy Gray.
I think so. And Macy Playground.
Macy Playground, yeah.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, they may have been like filming some stuff there, and they didn't want to use like the original artist license songs. So they just got somebody to cover them to be in the background, which is a dumb idea because you don't want to have that going on when you're trying to like shoot and then later edit film, because then you'll just be cutting that audio with it, right?
Yeah, that's true. It was very weird. Who knows what they were up to?
Yeah, it's a strange occurrence. Powerhouse, though.
Yeah, Powerhouse. Go there if you want to listen to that kind of music.
I guess. What led you there? Was there anything else to draw, or were you just like, hey, that's a fun name?
We went there to draw. Like, they had coloring books and stuff.
Great.
No, I don't know. I think Sean Byron knew about it, so...
Well, sounds like a good time still. I mean, you guys are all hanging out and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was fun. It was just very weird, the music that they were playing. And, like, to play it. So, like, I can imagine playing, like, generic crap like that, like, just in the background. But, like, to play it and then, like, be super rocking out. Like, we had to, like, yell to talk to each other.
Yeah, that sounds very rock and roll.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I had a lot of fun. It was fun to see those guys, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like fun. It sounded like... I still haven't gotten through, like, the last 20 minutes of the recording. But it sounds like y'all had a really good time. And, yeah. And hopefully you'll be making more trips down to LA soon.
Oh, I think I will be.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. How about you? You been doing any fun stuff?
Nah, not at all.
Oh.
I've just been working a lot, notarizing the hell out of things.
Cool.
And visiting like some family that I hadn't seen for what feels like a decade. That was fun. It was surreal though, because it's like, why are we doing this? Just such long gaps between visits, you know? It's like we should be visiting each other more often because time is fucking flying by. It's weird.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And that's how we spent Mother's Day. I was visiting people that we haven't seen for 10 years and be like, do you want to watch Mad Max Fury Road? Because they hadn't seen it. And we did. Nice. That was Mother's Day.
Well, that's a good Mother's Day movie.
I think so too, yeah. Yeah, they're going to the land of many mothers, so it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't think it went over well with the family that we hadn't seen for a while, because we're like, this is what we're into now.
Yeah.
We hope this connects with you. But no, it is still a really good time. And hell, I don't know, man. I saw Purple Rain again. I saw a bunch of movies. That's what I had been doing. I saw Purple Rain. I saw Civil War. I saw Green Room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw just on Thursday, upon recommendation of somebody, like a couple of folks in Podcast Town on Facebook, Sing Street. And it's a film set in the 80s about a couple of kids at an Irish Catholic school. We're all bummed that they're at like an Irish Catholic school in the 80s. And one of them falls in love with a girl and starts a band to impress her. It was very like, I mean, it's all kind of like ingredients that have been used before in films as far as boy trying to win over girls' affections and stuff. But it's really good. Music was really good too. That was something that people were hyping up about it.
Yeah, I heard it was like a feel-good romp.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
I don't know. That's what I heard. I think anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. And I was thinking like, oh man, Parker would really dig this through most of it because the music was very reminiscent of kind of bedrock stuff to music that you ended up liking later, at least like when we were hanging out in the early 2000s. There's some stuff that sounds like very faintly of just some like pop punk bands that would have drawn on from the inspirations that the kids in this movie are drawing from. And it's all original music too, like for this film. But then at the end, like the main goal, well, not at the end. I won't spoil it for you.
Don't spoil that ending.
Yeah. Not the ending. But there's this talk about like, oh shit, I can't really do it now.
Don't spoil it.
I'll tell you off the mic. No. Otherwise, I'm going to fuck it up.
Let's not spoil this movie.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah.
The guy who plays the older brother in it, though, reminds me of Memphis Maniac a lot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he had like the same hair and a lot of the same like manners of speech, and not as much like hacking and coughing though.
Well, that's like the coolest part of Memphis Maniac, I feel.
Yeah, this guy had like the look and most of the feeling down, but just not all of it.
What'd you think about that Civil War? You like that kind of movie?
I thought that was a fun romp. I especially like the fact that Spider-Man was in it. That was basically the selling point for me. The rest of it was, it moved along well. Like with Marvel movies, it's still kind of difficult for me to buy into a lot of what they're selling. Like especially the Captain America stuff. I wasn't a fan of Captain America when I was a kid.
All right. Well, that's the end of the podcast. We gotta go.
As a kid?
I can't believe this.
Excuse me?
Can't believe Young Frisbee.
Young Frisbee.
I actually hated Captain America when I was a kid, so I understand your emotions.
And I didn't know what he was about. That was basically it. Turns out he does a lot of procedural stuff because he's at that level where he's like, if he's not working with S.H.I.E.L.D., he's working with government or in conflict with government or S.H.I.E.L.D. So makes sense that that's what these films are trying to accomplish. And then like other Marvel films have their own things, like Tony Stark has this, you know, business chat that kind of goes through some of the movie or movies. So it's not exactly, I get the feeling that myself and a lot of people who are kind of casual fans of these comic series today are just kind of like, yeah, okay, I want to see these people like flying and zipping around and fighting each other. And that part of the movie was amazing. It totally bowled me over. I would probably go see it again just for that airport hangar scene.
That's a good part.
Yeah, it is excellent.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few people where people are just like, oh, all the talking, get rid of it. I just want to see them fights. And like, I don't know, I can understand that, but like, I like those characters a lot. I would watch a movie where it was like just Spider-Man and Tony Stark like talking about what it's like to like do nerdy science stuff. Like, I think that would be a really good movie. Just two guys bonding over science.
And I thought they did that stuff better than they did in previous films. And I especially liked the thread of this movie about Bucky that doesn't get revealed till like the very end or near the end. And I thought all that stuff was incredible. Like, you keep seeing snippets of it throughout the film. And it's that kind of ghoulish looking video camera film that they use. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah. They like show like clips from Human Centipede in the movie for some reason. Like, they edit in digitally Winter Soldier into Human Centipede. It's real wild.
It's effective, though. Mm-hmm. You're like, why am I seeing this weird, like, stitching sequence? And then it just cuts right back to Captain America saying, like, how are we going to get some new recruits for the big airport hangar showdown? Doesn't make too much sense, but it works. Mm-hmm. It works. That's all that matters. So yeah, I'd probably see it again. I'm kind of bummed that I missed out on Ant-Man because Paul Rudd was great in this.
Oh, Ant-Man's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally dropped the ball on that. Yes. Anyway, I mean, I'm excited for the next films that are coming out. Like, I thought Black Panther was great. So that should be a good one to check out. I guess it's coming out this year or next year?
2 years.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, they got to get to work on it,
I guess. But Doctor Strange, he wasn't in this one, but I'm more excited about that one considering what they've done with this Captain America arc.
Yeah, Doctor Strange will be fun. I hope it like gets real horror-y. They got a horror movie director. I hope it's basically a horror movie with a superhero in it.
But yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I liked it quite a bit, but it's not as good as Hardcore Henry.
Which I haven't seen.
It's like by far my favorite movie of the year. It's so good.
That's the first person movie, right? What the fuck was that video game? Not Razor's Edge. Jesus.
Mirror's Edge, right?
Thank you. Yeah, Mirror's Edge. It's like Mirror's Edge, right? First person perspective. Zipping around, all that stuff.
Shooting people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of shooting people in the face in that movie. Which is cool, because I never shot anybody in the face. But now, because of this movie, I kind of get what it's like. You know? You ever want to shoot anybody in the face?
Nah, not really. But I imagine if this film is depicting it in a pretty good way, then I might think twice about it.
Yeah.
I might think twice about it.
Like, what if Charlton Copley, star of District 9, showed up at your house? He was like, hey, Frisbee, I got this guy. And I got this gun. Would you like to shoot this guy in the face? I'll give you 20 bucks.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'd be really put off by it. I'm like, how do you know my name?
He would be like,
and are you going to be as creepy as you are in the films?
He would be like, I'm just a big fan of yours. Great. I like your podcast.
Very nice.
I got this guy. He needs to be shot.
How can I turn down that? He's already been exceedingly charming. Mm-hmm. So I'm be like, well, whatever you want, honestly.
Well, all right, good. I just I like that you're so agreeable to shooting that guy for Charlton Copley. I would definitely shoot a guy for Charlton Copley. He's very good in Chappie.
Oh, was he in Chappie?
He was Chappie.
He was the Chappie.
He was the titular Chappie.
And was he in oh, never mind. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I thought he was the creepy guy that I'm thinking of, but maybe not. Yeah, is that still in theaters, Hardcore Henry?
Probably not. It didn't do too well. Maybe. Like, maybe if you got cool theaters.
Nah, I don't have any of those. Actually, I've got a theater that will show, like, Bollywood films, and there's this series called 24- Tamil, or 24- I think it's Fengal. There's two films, and I think they're set in like the same canonical universe. I don't know much about it other than that. And I saw like on IMDb that it has like a 9.5 rating. So I may try to check that out tomorrow. If anybody knows anything about either of those films and how I butchered their titles, please let us know, because I'm curious. They often show like maybe a couple of films, a couple of screens for that. For like Bollywood cinema. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen anything that they've offered. And this is apparently like some sci-fi film that's doing really well over in India. And we have it here. So why not? Same place I saw Sing Street and a couple other like limited run stuff. It's not the theater you'd expect to show it though, because it's like a multiplex.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you need to know more about that movie, you could use your new Texas Instruments compact computer.
Mm-hmm.
Takes over your work, not your desk. It's very compact, very small, and has a lot of computing power nonetheless, Frisbee.
That's good to hear, because when you were describing how small it is, I'm like, well, there's not a lot of computing power in that.
Well, you'd be wrong.
I would be. Wouldn't be the first time either.
Well... Yeah, I'm often curious, like, about these Bollywood movies. Like, I've only seen a couple, like, mostly, like, ones that are, like, total ripoffs of Freddy movies and stuff. But they play in Fresno a lot. And I always think about going up there to see a 3.5 hour long romantic comedy that's also a musical, but I can never pull the trigger on that. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's just, like, a cultural thing I can't get behind as a 3.5 hour rom-com, but I really want to try.
That's an ass in seat thing, I think, more than anything else. I mean, you are getting, like, the most bang for your buck, for sure. But it's also, how long are you willing to just sit in a dark room with strangers and look at, like, lit images on a screen? I don't mean, like, lit as in the modern parlance of being like, yeah, this is hot fire, son. Just, like, no, it's projected images on the screen is what I meant to say. And that's what drew me to this... sci-fi features is that they're like, they're, I think at most they're 2 hours and 40 minutes. So it's not exactly that extra 50 minutes. It's not that big of a difference, right? But it's still like, you know, doable.
Yeah. I don't know. Anytime a movie is like more that it like that doesn't have Captain America in it, anytime it's over 2 hours, like each additional hour, like, you know how like if you like pay for like, parking, you know, it's like $6 for the first 3 hours, but every additional hour is like $12, you know, like how they get you like that.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about movies over 2 hours. Like, I'm fine with you up until like the hour and 45 minute mark, but each additional 15 minutes after that is like very painful to me.
Yeah. Like, how necessary was this? Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. So hopefully, like, if I get a chance to see this, I can report back. Like, this is the one to see. If you're going to see one Bollywood movie this year, make sure it's 24 or something. I can't remember the rest of the title.
I like that advertisement.
That's exactly how it's typed up, too, mm-hmm. in the dailies there. It's just, like, a bunch of ellipses. Like, I can't remember mm-hmm. the rest of the title.
Make sure
it trails off.
Make sure it's 24 something. I don't want to know.
Yeah, tell your local ticket taker, give me a ticket to 24, etc., and that'll point you in the right direction. There's no Jack Bauer in this one. Just a bunch of sci-fi and musical numbers. I don't know if there's musical numbers in this, actually.
There probably are.
Probably, which I can get behind. I used to watch Bollywood films when I worked at the downtown library. Friends who also worked there kind of pointed, who were also like film buffs, were pointing me in that direction. Like, hey, these are pretty good. Have you ever been interested in just checking out something totally different? And for the most part, they were right. There was like some rom-com stuff in there that I just like, you know, I wasn't super interested in, but still, it was good. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Well, if you go to this movie, maybe you should drive there in your new Datsun.
A new Datsun.
Yeah. Nobody demands more from a Datsun than Datsun, Mr. Frisbee. And inside of it, you have room for everything except improvement.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my next question.
That's the Datsun 510 wagon. Think big, Frisbee.
Drive a Datsun. Think a Datsun. Okay.
Yep. Just so you know, that's something you can do.
Yeah, I'm in the market for a new car. The one I've been driving, it's pretty high up in miles, and I think the transmission is going, and I've got like no capacity for how to deal with any of this stuff. So I'm just letting it ride out. Like anytime I've been driving for 2 hours on the highway, it starts to like decline in acceleration and it just won't go up anymore. So I have to give it a rest. It's real, real lame. I used to do all these road trips and now I can't. So maybe the new Datsun is where it's at. Maybe that's where I should be looking at.
Yeah. Your road trips are top priority. You're going to need a new car.
Yeah, and I'm not looking for anything that has room for improvement either. Like, I want it to be as improved as it can be. And it sounds like the Datsun's where it's at.
You got that right. Speaking of things being where it's at, I got an email here.
Yeah, I saw that.
Let's get into this email.
Sure. Would you like to read it?
If you don't mind, I would read it.
Go ahead.
Maybe we should ask the producer who should read it.
I just want to see if you got that shine, Playboy.
I think that's you.
Yeah, I think that means he wants me to try it out. Let's see if I'm good at reading these things. PPR. This is from Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
You remember him.
I do. There was quite a back and forth before we took that short hiatus.
Yeah, this email is entitled Nabokov Part 5, The Jamaicaning. You remember Nabokov. He's our favorite.
He's our favorite dog, yeah.
Man, that dog was great. He says, PBR slick boys. Bad news, guys. Nabokov, remember him? He says, we do. We remembered him ahead of being prompted to. Went to Jamaica to visit my friend's grandma. I like the idea of dogs visiting very ancillary characters in their lives.
Yeah, it's like sometimes you might send a small child family member to like visit their grandparents overseas or something, like, and it's a huge to do, like make sure that we have connections in play so this kid doesn't just like go off wandering on their own. To do the same with a dog, to be like, all right, dog, you're gonna go visit my grandmother.
No, his friend's grandmother.
My friend's grandmother. A woman who has maybe seen you in photographs or perhaps petted you once. You remember that, right? And Nabokov, of course, being Nabokov, assures this person, yes, yes, I have. And then proceeds to go on a real-ass human vacation to go visit somebody else.
Yeah, I appreciate that about Nabokov. He also says, everything was going as planned and everyone was having a great time. Nabokov was getting maximum petting action, as of course he would.
Nice.
Grandma was very happy to see at least one member of her old family that left her behind in Jamaica, remember? I remember that a little bit. But here's the problem. He was outside sniffing some bushes, and the locals got him. He's been apprehended and he ain't got much time left. This is him in the clink. There's no such thing as animal rights down there. That's true. I think he's done for, but how sad. But if enough listeners close their eyes and say, I do believe in magic, maybe he has a chance. Y'all rock Matt. And here's a picture of him looking very sad, this Nabokov.
Yeah, he's laying down on the side of his face. And that's the saddest look a dog can pretty much give you. That's basically they're like, I'm tapped out. This is the end.
Yeah, he's like got little tears in his eyes too.
He looks like if this photo were in black and white, it looks like it might be like in a nouveau art film from the 60s or 70s where all you'd have is like narration describing like the ennui of life.
Mm-hmm. Which is Nabokov's bread and butter, the ennui of life.
Honestly, yeah, if he goes in this manner, that'd be the way for him to go. Like, of, I think he would like it this way, you know?
Well, maybe, but I'm selfish, and I don't want this motherfucker to die. I think we need to close our eyes and say that we do believe in magic, Mr. Frisbee.
Wait, is it magic that we have to believe in, or Nabokov?
Is this here... Matt says that we have to say we do believe in magic, although Nabokov is magic.
Well, I want to make sure I got the words right. Okay.
All right.
All right, so closing eyes.
Close eyes.
Okay.
Let's get the producer to start us off by saying he believes in magic.
Fuck, I can't talk anymore, man. This is for a loco.
Right. Well, we're off to a bad start.
We're off to a very bad start. All right, so you and I will say that we believe in magic. All right. I think if we say it three times together, then Nabokov will be okay.
All right. All right. Do you want to count down or should I count down?
Let's count down. Let's have on the count of yeah, baby, we'll say that we believe in magic. Can you count us down, producer?
Yeah, baby.
I believe in magic.
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 All right, now Nabokov should be okay if the prophecies are to be believed.
Yeah, I feel good about this. I don't think I fucked that up too badly.
I think we'll be all right. I think we're
good. And everybody at home, if you didn't do it with us, then go ahead and rewind the 15 seconds back on your little app player for this episode and say along with us at the count of yeah, baby.
Yeah. You guys have to do it too, otherwise it won't work. That was the whole point.
And actually, now that I've said that after the fact, I'm wondering if this is going to create a weird like Back to the Future loop where our listeners will just be stuck rewinding 15 seconds after what I just said.
Oh, yeah.
And saying it again and again into infinitum. So.
Well, you did address it to the people who didn't say it the first time, so I think they'll have to rewind back until they actually do it.
Okay, that might work. I think, yeah, my wording was probably precise enough for that.
Yeah, but also, if you did say it one time, don't say it twice, because that will bring Nabokov back to life twice, and then there will be two Nabokovs, one good one, one evil one, and we don't want that.
Yeah, and then anybody who like encounters them will be like, I'm seeing double here, four Nabokovs.
Oh, that's the greatest joke of all time.
It's the best Simpsons joke ever.
I agree. well, all right. I guess with that, we can call it a day. We can get out of here 7 minutes early, 6 minutes early.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We put in the work.
I think we did. We believed in magic. We said hey to our advertisers. And basically touched base, because it felt like forever, honestly. It had only been 2 weeks, but for some reason, like, it felt like a decade since I had last spoken to you.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
I feel the same way.
It was odd.
That's how it goes. When we miss a week,
yeah.
Like I feel like it feels like 7 years or something.
Yeah, there's so much other stuff that we hadn't caught up on. And we'll just do it next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the meantime, people can check out old episodes at pulpwardradio.com. You can like us, rate us, review us on your podcast player of choice. iTunes is always helpful. And find us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We're also in that podcast town. Just do a search for it. Easy to find. Put in a request to join. We'll see what happens, I guess, is the best way to, advertise that. And
yeah. Well, the best way to advertise that is to say, if you join, someone's probably going to tell you to kill yourself.
Yeah. Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean, just ignore them, especially if it's Wayne. And just have fun, you know? Once the initial wave of killing yourself is over, then you can be one of the guys who tells other people to kill themselves, and then you'll be part of the crew.
Yeah, it's an initiation thing, if nothing else. So there are those on Facebook. You can write to us. Tell us about the adventures, the real-ass human travels your dogs are having at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter. There's @CumulusFrisbee, @FinalParker. We tweet. You know how to do that stuff. I think that's it.
Yeah, that sounds like all of it.
Right. Oh, well.
Also, if you're one of those motherfuckers out there who got a shirt, man, I never been so proud in my whole life. I saw people with shirts out there. I saw people with beer coozers. My heart swelled with pride. The kind of pride where, like, if you're a parent and, like, your kid graduated college and then also kicked the shit out of, like, a neo-Nazi, like, that's the kind of pride. Like, that's how proud I am of you guys buying shirts, wearing them, sending us
immensely
pictures.
Immensely proud. Yeah, which was weird to tell friends and listeners online who would share their photos. I would type in, I'm so proud of you. And I get the impression that in some cases people thought I was being sarcastic. I wasn't. I was just running the same catchphrase that we're using here. Like, very proud. Very, super proud. There's really no other words to describe it. Like, happy. Yeah, of course I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But proud. I'm just so proud that's come to this. Where you're, like, drinking a can from a very comfortable holding device with my face on it. And Parker's. Mm-hmm.
And our muscles.
And muscles. Good Lord, the muscles on our forearms. Looking good. Looking nice.
Yeah. And that old cat being on shirts. No, if you're wearing that old cat on a shirt, no one's going to look you in your eyes anymore. People are just going to be looking you right at your chest and giggling. And I think that's a good way to live.
Yeah, it's the best way. Because then you have to, like, make eye contact and think, oh, is this person mean any ill will towards me? Is this the next love of my life? Or is this the love of my life, rather? Because I guess you only get one. I don't know. No, they'll just look at your shirt. They'll chuckle. And then you can go about to whatever the fuck it was you were going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's great. So we're very proud of you. Keep sending in those pictures. Podcast Town. Or, email them. Whatever you like. We'll look at them. Tweet us.
Facebook. Our Facebook page, for sure.
Yeah. Our normal Facebook page. However you want to do it, but we want to be looking at you. Also, maybe it's too early to say this, but there might be some patches coming up. Like, if you're one of those punk rockers who likes to put patches on things, or if you're metal, you might have some patches for you to put on your what are the kids called? The battle jacket?
Battle jackets, yeah.
So that might be a thing coming up. So clear some space. Take off your Man of War patch. Make some space for the Pool Party patch.
Ain't that some of the Man of War anyway, buddy?
Yeah, you don't even like. You liked them a little bit in eighth grade, and you bought the patch, you put it on your battle jacket. It's time to let it go. All right, put the Pool Party patch there instead of Man of War. Or instead of that deicide patch. You can take that off, replace that. It's going to be a very metal looking patch, so.
Yeah, definitely get that striper patch off that shit. You're not fooling anybody. Man. There's no irony in it. It's not funny.
Mm-mm. No, it's not funny. Especially if you just got it because of the Ted Cruz joke. He's not even going to be president, so now that joke's over.
Yeah, joke's done.
All right. Well.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be emotional.
Yeah, even more pride. I don't know if I can be any more proud. My heart's going to burst.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud. That my heart, it's like white hot with pride, like it's the most hot that a heart can get with pride. Like some would say that it was like white hot, with pride.
Okay.
All right, well, we gotta go.
Yeah, so this is Frisbee for Parker saying, thanks for having fun.
All right.
Hey, enjoy yourself, everybody.